Christmas is all about the incarnation of God the Son, Jesus Christ. And a passage that captures both Jesus' full humanity and divinity is Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. And here is what the Lord has revealed to us. Jesus was in the form of God, but did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now the Greek words for form in verses 6 and 7, form of God, form of a servant, and the Greek word for likeness in verse 7, likeness of men, and the Greek word for appearance in verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, are not all the same word. The Greek word translated form means the outward manifestation of an inward reality. So what's inside is seen outside. What's outside is what's inside. Jesus' very nature is fully divine. His very nature is fully human. The inward reality was seen. Form of God, form of man, fully God, fully man. That's who Jesus is. The Greek word translated likeness means something that has been made just like something else in appearance and reality. Jesus didn't just look like a man. Jesus was a man, totally, fully a man. The Greek word translated appearance refers to outward shape and form, not to actuality, but to appearance. So this means that Jesus' appearance was like every other human being. So all these different Greek words together are used in these two verses to explain that Jesus' very essence and his nature, outside, inside, is fully God, fully human. He didn't have a high degree of God's power working in him, like some heresies proclaim. Some heresies will say that, yeah, Jesus was fully human, but he had some of God's power working in him. God was working through him with some of God's power. No, not some of God's power. Full on, full divinity, full humanity. That's who Jesus is. Colossians 2 verse 9 makes it clear. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The Word became flesh. So I've been thinking about the Lord's incarnation, his coming to us and being one of us, being with us. I've been thinking about that as an example for us to be incarnational in our culture, in our world, us going to lost people, going to them and being one of them and being with them. And I want to be careful not to simply take the incarnation of Jesus as a call on us to be incarnational, to go into culture, because Jesus' incarnation is totally unique. Without the incarnation, Jesus' ministry, his life, death, and resurrection have no significance. Also, we can't simply take Jesus' incarnation as an example to follow, because we are redeemed by Jesus. We can't redeem people. We can't copy Jesus' ministry. We point to Jesus, the Redeemer. So with those disclaimers in place, as people redeemed by Jesus, shouldn't we emulate God the Son by doing what he did, which is going into the world, into the culture around us, being with people, with lost people, and bringing them the message of salvation, incarnational living? Shouldn't we? There are two reasons why this line of thinking has stuck with me lately. The first one has to do with our women's outreach dinners that took place a few weeks back. The purpose of those dinners are for Christian women to bring their unsaved, unchurched friends. This implies that Christian women have unsaved friends, which implies they are a part of the culture, the world, with people, with lost people. Biblically, should they be doing that? The second one, the second reason, has to do with a friend of mine whose grandson was in a play that had some scenes and some language and some topics that were not that great, kind of racy. The grandson said to Grandpa, "You don't want to come. You won't like it, Grandpa." But Grandpa went. Why did he go? Because that was his grandson, whom he loves. The grandson is not redeemed by Jesus. So Grandpa went to a play that was really important to his grandson and became one of the audience. So the question is, should we be a part of culture with unbelievers, a part of the audience? Should we go into the world and be with the world, enter culture, enter that group, enter that gathering, becoming one of them? And Christmas, I think, is the best time of the year to ask that question because of the incarnation of God the Son, Jesus Christ. So let's pray together and then look at some scriptures and try to answer this question. Father, please open our eyes to your truth. You reveal your will. You have revealed yourself through your word. Open our eyes to your word. Open our eyes to this John 17 passage. And Lord, align our thinking with yours, with your word. Break down some things that we have built up but are not from you. Please, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So are we to have incarnational living in this self-worshipping world? John 17 is our text. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for those whom God has given him, which at that time was specifically the 12 disciples and those and many others that have believed in him for being sent by God and holding salvation. But it does not have, but it also does have this forward focus to it, in that he prays for those who will believe in him because of the message of his disciples. And that is us. We believe in the message of Jesus Christ that was given to the disciples and spread by the disciples onto other disciples, and we are a part of that. So Jesus is praying for us, is talking about us. Now, Jesus was never part of the world, which means he was not born a sinner like every human being after Adam and Eve. As John 1 verse 9 points out, Jesus entered the world. He came into the world. We, on the other hand, were all full-on part of this sinful, fallen world. Born sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God, and we have sin that condemns us. But we've been given God's word, verse 14. We've been given the truth, the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. He gave us understanding, faith, repentance, and made us born again. So we are no longer of the world, verse 14 and 16, but have been aligned with God's truth. We are no longer one of the world, one of the rest of the world. John 1 verse 12 to 13 says, "To all who did receive him," Jesus, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We were made alive, born again, brought to a new life by God, not of flesh and blood or personal will. Our new life is of God in Christ. When you think of yourself, that should be the first description that you give yourself as your identity. I belong to God. I have been made a new creation in Christ. My sins have been removed and taken care of by Christ. I am a child of God. So that is who we've been made into. And as children of God, we have all been sent. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." So those that God saved, he has sent into the world. Saved and sent, they go together. There is no saved without being sent. And there is no sent without saved. There is no, well, I'm not gifted to be sent. We are saved and we are sent. Again, this is not just targeting his 12 disciples, but is extended to us today. Just like Jesus did in Matthew 28 verse 20 when he said to his disciples, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Well, the end of the age is when Christ returns, which hasn't happened yet. Therefore, we can take Jesus' promise to the 12 disciples as extending to all his disciples until he returns, which includes those of us right now who are redeemed, saved by Jesus Christ. So we are saved and we are sent to go. And if you are saved, then you are sent into the world. So, saved and sent. If you say, "I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ," you've been sent. You have a sending on you. But sent for what? Well, what was Jesus sent for? John 6, verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus was sent to do God's will. John 9, verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see." Mark 2, verse 17. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew 20, verse 28. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 1, verse 21. The angel told Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. John 10, verse 10. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus came to declare God's truth, God's kingdom, and to rescue people from their sin and give them eternal life with him. So our being sent into the world is in the same vein, to glorify God by bringing that message of salvation through Jesus to the world. We are to live out the same mission as Jesus. God's will, God's message, like Jesus, going into the world, the culture 2,000 years ago, and ministering inside that culture. Just like Jesus did, we are to go, becoming a part of things, but not wrapped up in things. Go and build relationships with people and point them to Jesus Christ. Between his birth and the cross, Jesus spread the truth of God. He was living out the kingdom of God in this world with people of this world, so much so that the Pharisees accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of sinners, as Matthew 11, verse 19 says. Jesus was sent into the world, a world he was not of, and we are sent into the world, a world that we are no longer of, because of Jesus. So, God the Son took on humanity, fully identified with humanity by becoming fully human. He was sent to us and he came. He never ever stopped being God, even though he came to be one of us, among us. Now, we are saved, new creations, in God's family, citizens of heaven, in Jesus Christ. And we have been sent. So how are you doing with being sent? Being saved is not about collecting ourselves on a Sunday morning and doing our Sunday morning business here for an hour and a half, and then leaving, going back to our home, and having our nice home and everything set in place, and our nice life set in place, and that's it. We just be about ourselves, about our recreation, about our set agendas. That is anti-Bible. That is anti-salvation. You have not been saved to sit at home and mind your own business. Mm-mm. We are not to withdraw or disengage from the world. But on the other side too, we are not to compromise or be confused with the world. You know what I'm saying? You see the differences there? We are sent into a foreign world to be one of them among them. And the them being those that are of the world, those separated from God by their sin. We are to live incarnational lives. We follow and obey the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we take on the life of living in this world, living the way the Lord wants us to, and bringing the message of Jesus Christ to all situations. We are sent to bring the one who saves, to bring the one who saved us. And so we take on the form of an audience member in our grandson's play. We take on being a member of our neighborhood, being in each other's lives. We take on being an employee of a company. We take on being part of the senior center. We take on joining a sports team. We take on joining a pack at our kids' school. We do all of this not to get wrapped up in it, but to bring them the one who saved us, to live our lives of worshiping Jesus among the world, not among Calvary Baptist Church people, but among the world. This is one of the results of salvation that Jesus' incarnation brought. We are sent to the world to be with the world, to live incarnationally. Do you see that in Scripture? As I've been sitting with this, there has been, we don't like talking about guilt, so what's another word instead of guilt, a less harmful one? Convicted. I've been so convicted lately. How am I sent into the world? What evidence is there that I am among those who are lost? I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Am I just keeping him to myself while people around me are going to hell and living like hell, thinking that they're just being normal? They're just doing what everybody should be doing. Am I just blending? Am I staying away from them, or am I blending in with them and just walking along with them and just keep your mouth shut about Jesus? That's private matter, private stuff. What are we doing? I've noticed that about myself, that I'm way too quiet. Everybody talks about their own gods and the way that they're worshiping. Everybody's doing that because they all talk about work and themselves. You have a conversation with someone and they talk about themselves so long and so often, and they're just doing who they're worshiping. They're worshiping themselves, so they're talking about themselves. Well, I'm worshiping Jesus Christ. Why am I not talking about Jesus Christ? We're sent. We're sent. We're not saved to be saved off in the corner until Jesus comes or until we die. We're saved, and now, like those birds do with their chicks, God's kicking us. Go! 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 This requires biblical thinking and discernment. Because I can just hear some going, oh, okay, now I should go. It's all right for me to go hang out in the pub every weekend. No, no. This requires biblical thinking and discernment. For example, I will not go to a gay marriage ceremony. I won't be one of the audience. Why? Because anytime you attend a marriage ceremony, by your very presence, you are agreeing with the marriage, and you're committing yourself to supporting that marriage. And I cannot do that because of what Scripture says about marriage, because of the high value that God puts on marriage, and that marriage is to be between a man and a woman. So I won't go to a gay marriage ceremony, but I'll be their friend. Right? I'll be their friend. You get what I mean? We must discern how we are with the world, where and how we become part of them, part of the audience, part of the neighborhood. We've got to put some thinking into this and not just dismiss it as, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, I'll just keep going. That's what I do. Oh, I don't know what to do there. Well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing instead. No. God's given us awesome brains. Put some thought into it, some biblical thought into how can I be in the world bringing Jesus into every situation without becoming a part of being wrapped up with what they're worshiping. How can I do that for the glory of Christ? How can I do that? Being sent is an absolute privilege, because being sent means that God has taken us, brought us to Himself, deposited His Holy Spirit in us, and now is sending us with the message of salvation. That's a privileged position. We have that privilege. If you resist this being sent, this whole idea, spend some time in Scripture, see for yourself how God is sending us, and I hope that at some point with me you will confess and repent for not going when we have been told to go with the message of Christ. Church, you have been saved and brought out of slavery to sin, out of slavery in this world, and are now sent to the world as God's child worshiping God with the message of salvation. So go and live that incarnational life this Christmas. Go and have that kind of a Christmas. Let's pray together. Father, there are many of us that we want to repent right now and say, sorry, I have for so long just lived for myself. I've cheered on my salvation that you've given me, and I've kept it to myself, and I don't bring it up for who knows how many reasons. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for keeping quiet about you. I'm not quiet about other things that I'm excited about, but I'm quiet about you. Forgive me for doing that. And Lord, help me to worship you with my brain and think about being sent, to think about your gospel bringing you into conversations, and to be bold and to be gracious. Lord, we need your help. We need your help, and we want to do this, and we cannot do it. We need you, your Holy Spirit, to change us and to line us up in that way so we live abundantly, abundantly. We ask this with trust and dependence in you. In Jesus' name, amen.